coming trash. And I am a pagan. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinions.
Hello, hello, welcome to Trash Opinions, where we talk all things trash. I am your host, Trash, and today we are talking about Survivor HHH, Heroes, Healers, and Hustlers, a season that is not well regarded in the Survivor community for an obvious reason. It's the winner. It's all the winner. I think most people's complaints about the season involve Ben being a lackluster winner who won over people that they rooted for a lot more. Or they have a ton of conspiracy theories about this season being fixed and Ben being the Golden Boy winner that they just feed idols and twists to that benefit him and him alone. Until he wins at the end, and I'm not saying those people are necessarily wrong, but let's see if the season still holds up regardless, because I remember enjoying it the first time around. So let's just get right on into HHH, Heroes, Healers, and Hustlers. But before we do, I gotta do the obligatory telling you guys to like, comment, and subscribe. Once again, once we get to 100 subs, that's when I will be releasing my season rankings of Survivor. Which seasons do I like the best? Which seasons do I like the worst? You'll find out if you like, comment, and subscribe and get me to that 100 mark. Anyway, let's just get on right into HHH. Woo! First up on the chopping block, we actually have the first boot of the season because she was absolutely invisible her entire first episode, and that is Katrina Radke. Katrina might be one of the least memorable first boots of all time. I had trouble remembering who the first boot of the season was. She does literally nothing the entire first episode, and we get to know absolutely nothing about her. She's just there and booted for being a challenge liability, even though she's an Olympian, but she's one of the most forgettable first boots ever. At the end of the day, she's going in, meh. Next up, we have the very next boot, actually. We have Simone Nguyen. See? Nguyen. It's not that hard to say. Who? I mean, she's slightly more invisible than Katrina, but they don't really give Simone any love on this edit. She's portrayed as an outsider who doesn't have a lot of outdoor experience. She's called weird by her tribe, and she doesn't seem to have any particularly strong connections on the tribe. She gets booted because she's on the outs and isn't particularly useful in challenges. She's in meh. After that, we have someone else we know nothing about, but also goes out way later than any of them, so they don't really have an excuse here, but we have Ashley Nolan. I kept getting her mixed up with Jessica for some reason. Ashley is another character that we know nothing about, and the sad thing is she actually makes it far. They really didn't give a lot of the women here good edits. She makes it really far, and she has no character moments to show. I honestly forgot she was there most of the time, and I struggled to remember who she was before the rewatch. Nothing has changed. After this season, I will forget who she is again. She's going into meh. Next up on the dud train, we have JP Hilsebeck. JP is a dud, but he's hilariously a dud. He's enjoyably boring. He's like a meme. He strips naked for Alan to show that he doesn't have the idol throwing in some pelvic thrust for good measure. Maybe I would have liked him more had he done the helicopter, but whatever. Him automatically believing Chrissy when she mentions an all-girl alliance is also pretty funny. He's such a doofus. He's for sure a dud, but he's the poster child for duds. Just, he doesn't do anything, and I don't really get why they booted him in the first place, and, like, they should have just dragged him as a goat. Like, why not? Not even his positives can keep him out of meh. Next up, we have someone, while mediocre, is still respectable a little bit in a way, and that is Rourke Luskin. Rourke is so quiet throughout her entire run. She has a couple confessionals and obviously has a mind for the game, and had she not gotten swap screwed, she might have made a decent run, but at the end of the day, she didn't, and outside of talks of good players who didn't make the merge, there's really nothing to say about her. Allie wanted to save her, but Ryan flipped on her to work with Chrissy, and Chrissy easily tricks JP by bringing up an all-girl alliance, and Rourke goes out, leaving all her potential in the dust when she's taken out at her first tribal. Rourke is pretty meh. And we actually get out of the mediocre tier pretty early, and we're moving on to rootable people, and to start off, we actually have Patrick Bolton. Patrick is hilarious. He's like this big dumb kid. He's afraid of crabs. Lauren immediately doesn't like him and thinks he needs to chill. She also thinks he needs to stop being a ginger, saying that she doesn't trust redheads. I take offense to that. It's not his fault gingers don't have souls. It's funny he and Allie knew each other before the season. Apparently they went to the same school and he helped her move a couch once, but they had to keep it under wraps before the season started so they wouldn't be recast. Patrick is enjoyable while he's there. He's funny, he annoys his tribe, and is, in general, not a great social player. He stubbornly stays in the sandbag throwing challenge despite being behind the entire time and clearly showing he's exhausted. It didn't help that they ended up losing the challenge and going to tribal council, where he's booted. I don't know why Allie didn't fight to keep him, but whatever. Maybe she didn't like the fact that he looks like Cochran's jock older brother either. Patrick is enjoyable enough throughout his short stint to go into mildly entertaining. Next up, we have someone whose low placement will probably be controversial, but we have Desi Williams. Desi is a new school player most would love to see return. I might get a lot of hate for this, but I don't see what's so great about Desi as a character. Yeah, she's strategical, good socially, and good at challenges, the complete package of a player. But she really doesn't do anything on this season. Yeah, she wins first immunity, that's cool, but then she's taken out at the very first opportunity. I can see maybe a Jeremy run on her next return since Jeremy went out in the same spot while being the whole package like Desi, but at least Jeremy was entertaining on San Juan del Sur. She just kinda isn't. I mean, she's for sure rootable, I'm not gonna act like she's not, but on Survivor Obsession's YouTube channel, he has these elimination polls for the best cast member for each season of Survivor, and Desi won for HHH, and it kind of perplexed me because I don't see her as an all-time great character or player, not in the slightest. I mean, she has tons of potential, for sure, that's not the argument, just what she does on HHH is what I'm looking at, and aside from staying with Joe, what character moments did she really have? If I'm totally wrong about Desi, please explain to me why in the comments, because I just don't get it. I mean, she's incredibly beautiful, so is this another case of popular because hot? I don't know. Tell me how wrong I am, but she's going in mid mildly entertaining. Next up, we have another low placement that's gonna make people mad at me, but I also feel like it's a case of popular because hot, and we have Alexandria Allie Elliott. It's hard not to be biased towards Allie because she is ridiculously gorgeous and my insides flutter when I look at her, but Allie gets a lot of content in the pre-merge and it's a shame she gets booted so early. She takes the Rourke boot extremely personally and starts railing on Ryan in front of the whole tribe, and I don't get why she did that. I get she was upset. It was just terrible gameplay and it burned Ryan. You gotta separate personal feelings and the game sometimes. Ryan then promises he's with her, only to boot her out the next round and solidify that, yeah, he's working with Christy. Allie could have made it very far in this game, but she gets totally screwed by her number one ally, and I wouldn't be surprised if she held a ton of resentment for Ryan even today, because he did her dirty. Regardless, it was still a fun downfall. We are reaching a part of the list where the characters get a little more entertaining, and next up we have Jessica Johnston. Jessica is a part of the Jessica and Cole showmance, which is a great modern showmance if you ask me. Jessica gets her trust betrayed by Cole, and then the second time she ends up crying and doubting her ability to pick good people, and it makes me feel really bad for her. But then she just keeps taking him back, and I don't know what's going on here. It's such a turbulent emotional ride with them, and it's only been 2 weeks. She gets the famous advantage inside of a chip bag and steals Devin's vote, leading to an all-time great line line, this is not an advantage. Jessica's constant as a virgin confessionals crack me up, and I feel like she's kind of getting the Eric Huffman treatment here. I mean, at least Jeff doesn't ask her if she's still a virgin at the reunion. I like Jessica a lot. I think she's entertaining in her short run, and I think I'm gonna throw her on the higher side of cute. And now we have the controversial winner of the season. We have Ben Driebergen. Ben isn't that bad. Yeah, his path to a win is probably one of my least favorite in the series, and I can totally see why the conspiracy theorists think this was rigged in Ben's favor, but I'm not gonna blame Ben for that. Ben starts off as a very sympathetic figure on the season when he's talking about his PTSD from being in the Marines. One of my least favorite inevitables in this world is war, and while I disagree with motivations behind war most of the time, I can't say that I don't feel bad for soldiers. They're lied to, fed propaganda, and then when they have to put their life on the line for ultimately something that has nothing to do with them, most of them just end up as statistics. It's sad, and seeing how much it can fuck with your head is something in full display with Ben, and I appreciate it. That being said, the Ben bombs suck. He becomes a lot less rootable as the season starts to end, and he's extremely smug when he starts finding idol after idol, and it's getting more aggravating than it is cool. I can see why the community really doesn't respect Ben. I don't think he's a great winner. He's basically Mike Holloway, they have the same type of win, and I know for a fact that Ben would have approved of the America Tribe name. They're the same person. HHH and Worlds Apart are the same season. I know it's been parodied before, but it's true. Unlike Mike, Ben is hated, and I think it's because Mike wasn't beating people who were particularly likable, while Ben won over people like Chrissy and Ryan, who were actually likable and had people rooting for them, and people thinking they deserved it a lot more. He's overly hated, but he's not that bad. But he's a total wet fart of a winner, let's be honest. I halfway get it. But to me, I found Ben entertaining and memorable enough of a character to rank him in rootable tier, and due to him being production's boy, he's for sure going into Golden Boy. Next up, we have someone else who is really rootable on the season, and we have Lauren Rimmer. Lauren is the tough older woman on the tribe who has no patience for Patrick's bullshit. Her and her magically clean hat vote his ass out, and Allie's just cool with it. Despite being rough around the edges and hard to connect with, she's still an amazing social player, and people want to work with her even if she has permanent resting bitch face. She's quiet in the beginning, but gets extremely strategical once the merge hits, which impresses the shit out of Devin. Lauren is definitely a rootable person once she shows her more strategic side, and she flips to vote out JP for some reason instead of Ben, but whatever. She seems to be in an incredibly good position to possibly make it to the end, but then Ben starts off his idol playing shenanigans by voting out Lauren in one single vote, and it sucks she had to go out on that shit when she was never a target. Her sister's great too. Lauren is for sure going in good player. She deserves it. And coming up, we have a couple people who almost made it into great, but just had slight things keeping them out of it. And first off, we have Alan Ball. Alan Ball starts the game sprinting, and we love him for it. He plays so hard so early, gets incredibly paranoid immediately. He gives JP a literal strip search for the idol, and he's immediately looked at as sketchy and nobody trusts him. And it's just a matter of time before they lose immunity and cut Alan from the roster had they just gone to tribal again after the Katrina Radke boot. Alan Ball is great. I would love to see a return from him someday where he can play a much less chaotic game. Alan Ball is a hothead, and it's really funny. He recovers from his initial paranoia and gets swapped into a position where it looks like he could maybe survive a few more rounds, but due to an idol play and the swing vote's vote being blocked, an underrated pre-merge villain gets idled out of the game with two votes. I wish he had gotten more content, but what we got was still pretty good. Shame, because the dude was absolutely wonderful, and he's going into mildly entertaining. And someone else who just, I wanted to put him in B tier so bad, but I just couldn't. Cole Metters. Cole is absolutely hilarious. He immediately has a showmance with Jessica, and he's just the worst survivor boyfriend since Adam Gentry, since he betrays her trust not once, but twice. He eats a lot, and he blames it on being a big guy who needs the calories, which pisses off Ben, and it makes sense why. Ben is just as big a guy, and I'm pretty sure he could use all those calories too. He's an absolutely terrible player, and I don't think anyone but Jessica actually liked him, and I'm surprised she didn't kick him to the curb either. Instead, she sticks with him until her demise, and Cole is just left by himself. He still doesn't understand not to raid the food like a stoner teenager does the fridge at 1 a.m, and he's still pissing people off, and he gets into a wrestling match with Ben over the idol. Worst of all, everyone thinks he has the idol. When he doesn't. He doesn't even get the benefit of going headfirst into an idol location. Cole is a great character, though. He's underrated. He's also underrated in how bad he is. I would definitely argue he's a worse player than Taylor Stalker, which is who I would compare him to, honestly. And he's a way better character. I love the doofus. I'm going to put him in mildly entertaining. And now we have the third person who came so close to great tier. We have Devin Pinto. Devin is a great player and a shoo-in for a return. He's really game body, but a rootable game bot with a spit of surfer bro flavor mixed in. Devin is the winner of the season if there's no forced fire making at the final four. I think he wipes the floor with both Chrissy and Ryan at Final Tribal Council. He was honestly robbed. Some people say that Chrissy was robbed, but I think Devin was the least arrogant of the final four, so he most likely gets the jury's respect in my opinion. He shouldn't have been kept in the game either. They keep him so someone else can beat Ben in immunities, but Devin doesn't win a single one. Devin is a very affable figure and very easy to root for. In fact, he was the one I was rooting for to take it all on my first watch. He makes a very smart move by changing his vote to Mike and saving his own neck because they for some reason want to keep Devin over Mike, which I don't understand. He seems destined to win once Ben loses that Final Four immunity challenge, but nope. There's one more bullshit twist in Devin's way when they choose now of all seasons to introduce a new unannounced force fire making at Final Four, fueling quite possibly the biggest conspiracy theory in Survivor history, and it's hard to argue against. This was to give Ben one last chance to survive the final three. It has to be. There can't be any other reason. Devin is a robbed king, and he for sure goes near the top of good player. Now, we get to someone in the great tier who actually made it to the great tier. We have Joe Meta. Joe is a crazy person, and trying way too hard to be Tony. He's not exactly We Have Tony at Home, but he is the great value version. He's way too overconfident and blows up his spot, and also throws Desi under the bus. I love his reaction to playing his idol correctly, too. How he's yelling, "I told you!" in Desi's face. Joe is ridiculous. He's so openly strategic and unpredictable and blows up his own spot over and over again, and I'm wondering how the hell they let this guy get as far as he did. He pisses Ben off by accusing him of using his valor as gameplay, and while I don't think Joe meant to push Ben's buttons like that, Joe should understand military dudes take that shit extremely seriously. It's not worth it, even when you're right. Joe forms coconuts with his former enemy Mike, and they're so entertaining from the bottom. Joe is a fun, wild ride from his start to his end, and he's just too much of an idol-finding wild card to keep in the game. Joe is for sure going into delightfully crazy. I kind of love Joe. And getting into the top three, we have Chrissy Hoffbeck. Chrissy is so freaking adorable in the beginning. Her friendship with Ryan is one of the highlights of the season. She plays a cutthroat game where she gets Ryan to cut his allies to save her. I love how she just blatantly talks strategy in front of people. It doesn't matter if there's people right there. She will whisper to you with someone 2 feet away from you. Her covering her mouth when she swears saying sorry is such an adorable mom thing to do, and it's so endearing. She shows her bitch side when she's actively joyous over depriving Ben of his loved one's visit, and she gets a big head about herself and is just as arrogant as Ryan and Ben at points. Chrissy becomes an unlikely challenge beast and ties the record at 5 immunities, and it's a big reason why people find her so incredibly rootable and have a lot of respect for her game. She's a huge character, and she's possibly the most strategic person on the season, and she had a very high chance of winning had she gotten rid of Ben earlier in the merge and also not been so openly pretentious about having the numbers over Ben. the closer you look at her game, you see the more flaws she has. And she's not as robbed as Devin was, in my opinion. I think in a Devin-Chrissy-Ryan Final 3, Devin wins. But if it's a Chrissy-Ryan-Mike Final 3, I think Chrissy has a better shot of winning that. But she votes out Mike over Devin, so she wasn't even working towards that scenario. Chrissy gets her flowers, at least. They show her a lot of respect on the edit, and it's why the community views her as a robbed queen. I get it, even if I disagree. Chrissy is a great character, and she's going into entertaining. And next up, at number 2, we actually have Ryan Ulrich. Ryan was cast because ever since Cochran, they just can't go a season without casting at least one awkward nerd. Ryan is such a delight at Tribal Council. He's probably one of the best Tribal Council characters ever, if I'm being completely honest. He betrays his ally in Allie to go work with Chrissy, and then later betray Devin's trust, and for a little nerd, he's awfully cutthroat and cold. He has a lot of great moments, even with his tendency to be kind of a dick, like him finding the idol and watching Ben and Cole wrestle for it was really funny, and so is him throwing away the spaghetti plate to put it on a napkin, because, oh yeah, eating spaghetti on a napkin is a thing people totally do. Not sus at all. Good job. He's full of relatable content. Him arguing that Jersey bagels are the best is something that spoke to my heart, personally. He's a smartass too, and I like it. He has a snarky charm to him, and despite being a little disrespectful twerp at times, he's really funny. He reminds me of a male Courtney Yates a little bit, except he's strategical. He's not nearly as amazing as Courtney, obviously. Nobody is, but he has that same energy, and I like it. He gets screwed over at any chance of winning with the forced fire making at Final Four, giving Ben another chance, but really, he should have voted out Ben during the many opportunities when he had the chance. It was his own fault. Ryan is fantastically entertaining as a character, and one I would love to see on a return. He's going into entertaining. And at number 1, we have Dr. Mike Zahalski. I fucking love Dr. Mike. He's like a Seinfeld character. The guy doesn't seem real. He seems to just be playing it up at times, and maybe he is. He has aspiring comedian energy. You can tell he takes improv classes. His kids think he's a beta cuck, so he went on Survivor to prove that he's a true Sigma male. Mike is so fucking rootable. I wanted him to get to the end so bad on my first watch, and I don't really understand why they got rid of him. Could you imagine Dr. Mike at Final Tribal Council? That would have been hilarious. He definitely doesn't win. Who the hell actually respects Mike, really? Yeah, everyone loves him, but this is season 35. They're not going to respect his terrible gameplay, and it's not like he made that strong of connections out there. His strongest alliance was with someone he couldn't even stand. Coconuts is a fantastic alliance, though. They're like the odd couple, and how obnoxious they get is so entertaining. Why they even vote Mike out over Devin at Final 5 is baffling, and the dude should have went to the end, honestly. Dr. Mike goes towards the top of hilarious. I'd love the dude. Alright, and that was Survivor HHH, which is basically just Worlds Apart. I mean, there are a lot of things I enjoyed about HHH. I mean, I did really get a chuckle out of that one challenge where Jeff name drops random Foo Fighters songs in the middle of his commentary on the challenge. That was pretty great as a Foo Fighters fan. I really enjoyed that. But it's just kind of a middle-of-the-road season at the end of the day, and I don't see myself returning to it ever again. I kind of forgot that a lot of this cast isn't that interesting. I thought there would be at least a few standout characters, but not even Mike is enough to land in anything higher than great tier. I mean, it's not like he has a super lot of scenes that really stick out. He has like one or two, and he's just in general a joy, so that's why I put him high. Like, I enjoyed him a lot more consistently than everyone else that made it as far as he did, but yeah, anyway. Next on the docket, we have Survivor Ghost Island, which I watched it once and only once, and I just didn't really enjoy it at all. I don't even remember half the people that are on this cast. I remember Jacob Duran. I remember Chris Noble. Chris Noble's great. I remember Dom and Wendell, but I mean, it's not like I remember many particular Wendell moments outside of that one, I think it was unaired, confessional, where he's just absolutely roasting Chris Noble's rap skills. It's pretty great. But anyway, I hope to see you there, and hopefully I will find some enjoyment from Ghost Island rather than being bored, which is what my experience was the first time around. But yeah, hope to see you then. If you made it this far, I forgot to say this part. If you made it this far, you're awesome. You're especially awesome for, like, waiting around for it if you did. If you were like, oh my god, he's not gonna say the thing. He's not gonna say the fucking thing. No, I said the thing. I said the thing. And I got it.